Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm Shani Magoski, and this is the Leadershifter Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet. Explore shifts of all kinds required to build cultures of trust, engagement, and execution excellence. I promise I am not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you and your team get your shift together.
Hello, Leadershifters, and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Show with Shani. It is great to have you here, and it is also great to have today's guest, Tony Martinetti, who is joining us from the Boston area. And Tony is a fellow leadership coach. His business is Inspired Purpose Coaching. He is also an author with a book due out in the spring called Are You Climbing the Right Mountain? Navigating the Journey to an Inspired Life. And for those of you who know me, you know I can't wait to tackle that one, because the whole climbing thing, mountain thing, is where I get so much of my own passion. And another thing that Tony and I have in common, which is cool, besides like at least 50 LinkedIn connections, is our career paths have been relatively similar. Tony also shifted out of a career in finance into being an executive and leadership coach. So we will hear his story as part of the Journey on the Leadership Show today. So welcome, Tony. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Annie. This is fantastic to be here. I'm looking forward to having this conversation. And I love the fact that we have so much in common to dig into.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and start. So in fact, so let's kind of start with the career shift. Yeah. So tell us kind of what your story was, what were you doing, and at what point did you realize I need a change? So this is kind of a three-part question, which I hate to do because it's a bad idea, but I think we'll follow the logic. So what were you doing? At what point did you decide you didn't want to do it anymore? And why coaching?
Okay. So I'll start with the very dramatic moment that happened that caused me to shift careers. And that was when I was sitting inside of a boardroom of a biotech company I was working with that, you know, I was there with like 40 some odd people, 40, 50 people, you know, having one of our normal meetings that we normally have with everyone in the room. And I looked around the room and I saw all these people like checked out, you know, looking at their cell phones and just completely like, you know, not there, there, but not there. And I started
there in body, but not in spirit.
Exactly. And I said to myself, I'm like, wow, this is ridiculous. Like, why are we all here spending so much time, like, and money, really, because we're not really engaged. And we're listening to the CEO and another, you know, C-level executive trying to defend their position about something that was relatively unimportant. And acute realization that I'm like, I can't do this any longer. I don't think I can sit in rooms like this and, you know, get paid as much as I was getting paid at the time. And I really shouldn't complain, but I felt like, you know, we work in an industry that saves lives, that is a very inspirational place to be. And here we are, you know, being led by leaders that at the time that just weren't inspiring. They weren't really leading. They weren't using their gift. And I decided, I think I need to leave this room. And I don't think I'm
like now and forever.
Yeah. And it was really hard because I didn't have anything mapped out or I didn't have anything, any big plan. I just realized that I wasn't living my purpose. I wasn't living, I wasn't working in a place that I needed to be any longer. Now I could have just gone and said, okay, well, I'll go find another job, doing the same thing somewhere else.
Right.
But the realization at that point was that, no, I need to break the pattern of what I was doing. I needed to do something completely different. And I said, okay, I'm going to change the room and I'm going to leave the room to change the room. That's what I did. I left and I said, I'm going to do something that's going to create a shift in leaders. And even if it means me starting with like people at different levels of the organization, attacking the problem from different angles would be perfectly fine with me, but I'm going to do something about it. So there was an energy about that. I still didn't know coaching was going to be the way, but it started to go off in my head that like I had been working with a coach a little bit before that moment.
Okay.
And I'd seen clues of what coaching looked like. And there were light bulbs that said, maybe that's the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
So I often say that's where my journey really started, because you don't just, you know, put a shingle on and say, hey, I'm a coach.
That's
I had to go through training. I had to figure out like what type of coach I would be. And I had to take the inner journey to find out who I really was before I could go out there and help other people to become who they really are.
Right. You know, I love what you just said, to find out who you really are. And I guess there's a couple of things I want to navigate from there. So one is, I guess, more of an observation that, you know, people think leadership development is this external thing where, and, you know, preaching to the choir here, all leadership development starts within the individual. But the second thing is this idea of identity and who we really are. And so many people identify as what they do for work. I mean, I know I did for a long time. Oh, I'm a Goldman Sachs investment banker. You know, and at the time I was like so proud of that. And, you know, I felt like that gave me some sort of influence and, you know, I don't know, whatever. It appealed to my ego until it didn't. And I asked that question to a lot of people, like, who are you really? And most people won't answer it with parameters outside of what they do for a profession. And, you know, maybe some people will say, I'm a spouse, I'm a parent, you know, whatever. So I'm curious, who did you decide you really were?
Yeah. And I think it's funny that, you know, I love that the way you phrase that, because there's an element of this that I really took a while for me to figure out who I really was. I thought of it as like at that point, having the honest conversations with myself to ask the questions that people don't often ask, like, who are you and what do you believe? What is the contribution you want to make to society? And what I started to uncover was that at the core, you know, besides being a husband and a father and a friend, I saw myself as this person who was an adventurer and an explorer and an anthropologist. One of the things that I uncovered about myself is, what was the things that I really loved in my college years that I uncovered, was that there was two classes that I absolutely loved, three actually. I'll tell you really quick. One was anthropology.
Okay.
The other one was organizational development. And the third one was music therapy, which is actually a class that has to do with using music as a way to connect with Alzheimer's patients or with kids with autism. And now you'd think that, that's a phone it in class. Like, why'd you take that? But I saw something about the convergence of bringing different fields together, science and arts. And I've always seen that in my life. In fact, I was a creative child who was told to go get a job by well-meaning adults.
So you picked finance and biotech?
Well, it actually speaks to this fact that I don't like to pin myself down into a box. I don't want to be put in a box, but oftentimes I did put myself into boxes because society forces us into boxes.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to choose something.
Right.
And I don't like that. I don't like the feeling of being put into boxes, and I don't think we should. And so my life has always been like kind of navigating different fields and always feeling like a yearning for the other, you know, being the creative, then going into, you know, I was actually going to be going in architecture and what have you. I love that stuff. And then I was like, nah, I'm going to go into pre-med. And I was a pre-med student, then shifted into finance. And then I saw this, like the convergence of being able to say, well, working in biotech in the finance and strategy field actually scratched many itches because it allowed me to play in the sciences and be able to work in a place where I can understand business. But the one thing that was missing is the arts. And that's where one of the things about what I'm doing now that people don't often think about is that, like, when you get into the space of working with people as an advisor, as a coach, you start to tap into your creativity and you get people tap into creativity. And that's one thing that I really started to come back to with my life as a creative.
Great. I love that. And I also identify as an adventurer, explorer. And it's one of the many reasons that this COVID time is killing me. I don't mean that literally, with all due respect.
Yes.
People who literally aren't surviving it. I've been to 50 something countries and I'm not stopping. And the fact that I've now gone a year without taking an international trip is seriously fucking with my identity. Because it's like, that's why I travel, is for the adventure and the learning and the interactions that are unexpected, but are lifelong lessons and all those things. And
this is exactly why the world brought us together. Cause it's like, that's exactly the sentiment that I feel is as there's an element of that that's missing too. And a lot of the conversations I've had lately is that, like, there's only so long we can go with the virtual connections. We've done, I think most people have done a great job of being able to make virtual connections work for them, but we have to also think we need that personal connection too. Being able to physically be in connection with people, be in space with people, is an important part of being human.
Absolutely. And I'm just about to add, like, a funny filter. There we go. For those of you who are watching, you can see that first I added a graduation cap, and now I've got the Rosie the Riveter, you know, little red and white polka dot bow on my head. So, you know, these are temporary solutions to create connection and fun on Zoom. But yes, it's definitely not the same. And okay, let me, how do I now take this filter off? Ah, there we go. Okay. It's not the same. And I agree, people are doing a good job and the platforms have done a good job adding backgrounds and filters and, you know, tools to increase connection. Ultimately, there is no substitute for human interaction face-to-face in the same place or, you know, in many different places.
Exactly.
So I just, before we move on, I always want to stop at a pivotal point and reinforce the lesson with those who are watching and listening, which is, when is the last time, leader shifters, that you have stopped, paused to reflect on who you really are beyond, you know, sort of the obvious things of parent, spouse, friend, and what you do for a living? Like, what really defines you? And this is homework for you. So I want you to think about the Shaney and Tony show. Your homework is to come up with three things that describe who you are that are not traditional descriptions, right? And you might have to think long and hard about it and think back to your childhood about what lit you up, what you wanted to be, what interests you. And if you have done your homework, ping me at hello@theleadershiftproject.com, because I want to hear from all of you. This is an amazing exercise. Okay. Now that I've done the, you know, pedagogical thing.
I love it.
Well, you know, and actually, let's keep it on the subject of travel and adventure. Because I know that you recently took a trip to one of my also favorite places in the world, which is the Sacred Valley of Peru. And you were sort of out of Cusco and the Sacred Valley. Talk to me about, you know, why that trip, and then tell the story of what happened and the lessons that you learned.
Absolutely. I love that you bring this up, because first of all, the lead up to going to it was challenge enough, because taking a trip like that during COVID times has its own challenges of getting tested, you know, getting results in time and Here you can get into the country. This was before things really started escalating back up in the US. So, you know, cleared all those hurdles, actually landed in the in Peru. And the experience in general was just so amazing, because what brought me there was a friend of mine was running a retreat there, his first one. And I'd always wanted to go. There was one of my lifelong dreams was to go to Machu Picchu, because I read the stories, you know, the books, and I've always had a fascination with, you know, being on the mountains and being in these ancient cities. I'm an explorer. This is what I do.
It's your anthropology thing, right? I mean, Machu Picchu is one of the wonders of the world.
Absolutely.
For good reason. I was there many years ago and hiked the Inca Trail. And it's a magical, magical place. And folks, not just Machu Picchu, there are so many other sites in the vicinity that are equally as cool and impressive that just aren't as well known.
But exactly. And I think that's one of the things that I'll impress upon people, because what you'll find in the story is that here I am in Peru, in Cusco, we're doing all these great things. And before you know it, you know, the day came for us to go to Machu Picchu and get up really super early, we're going to go by train to go up to the top. And lo and behold, the train was canceled. There was a strike. Some people had blocked the railway because they increased the rate of the, to travel by train by a little less than $2, but it's more than the people who are locals there can afford.
Sure.
So, you know, that caused this whole ripple down effect where, and we're like, okay, so this is not happening today. You can imagine my heart breaking, because I'm like, this is the thing, you know, I really wanted this to happen. And we were given some options. We could walk for 4 hours from there and, you know, 4 hours there and 4 hours back, and then climb from there. All these different options were placed in front of us. We decided to just let's see what happens tomorrow, only to find out they were on strike for 5 days.
Which kind of shot your whole runway, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, not to make a, you know, to belabored story, I had to come to grips with this fact that this lifelong dream, you know, travel all the way to Peru, and this is not going to happen this time. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest lessons I've learned was that, like, I just had to let go of that. Like, I had to detach from this, you know, this feeling that this is going to, this is this thing that I really wanted to have happen. It's not going to happen. But mm-hmm. What are the things that were happening that did make the trip exciting? The people were amazing. They looked at every day as a gift. And oftentimes we, you know, in our modern society, we oftentimes overlook the things that we have. So I started mm-hmm. to kind of be grateful for that and see that, you know, this is the world I'm living in and what can I be grateful for? And one of the other things I really took away from this trip, so it was letting go, and then the patience that I had to, like, really be patient with everything that was happening, whether it be the travel delays and things that I experienced on the way back, or just, like, you know, how the days unfold. Everything that happened was absolutely as it's supposed to happen. And I'm so grateful that I was able to even travel to Peru during that time.
Right.
Because I didn't go to Machu Picchu, I would say that the rest of the trip was absolutely beautiful. I went to some of the most amazing mountains there, experienced, like, the sun rising over, you know, the valley. So beautiful. So I can't complain.
Right. Yeah. There's so much to see there. And I love the shift in mindset that you chose to make while you were on the trip. Because, folks, isn't life full of twists and turns? Yeah. And you can view them as disappointments, or you can view them as opportunities. So what did you get to see since you didn't get to go to Machu Picchu? What did you get to experience instead? And that's a choice, folks, right? And absolutely. And that's one of the big messages of the Leadership Project is, you know, we're the masters of our own destiny simply because we're at choice every minute of every day, even when circumstances are imposed on us that are technically out of our control.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You know, just thinking about this, the shift in general, it's like, this is at that moment when you can just step back and just say, okay, you know, what do I have control over and what do I not have control over?
Yeah.
And that's like the starting point of that shift, you know?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that story with us. And I sincerely hope that you do get to go back to Machu Picchu. And I'll tell you, okay, so the Inca Trail is, you know, if you have the 4 days to do it, is definitely worth it. And if you don't, I hope the train is working, because I hiked up Train Down, and that train ride in and of itself is an adventure because it's switchback. So you're, and I'm sure that they prepped you on this before they knew the train wasn't going to run. So it goes forward and then it goes backwards and then it goes forwards and then it goes backwards. It's like a metaphor for life, of course. And and it's unlike anything that we experience in the States, because there's not, I don't know of any trains, at least ones that I've been on, that do that.
No, I've never been on
one. It's a little unnerving.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right. So another thing that we have in common, as I alluded to before, is our passion for the mountains.
Yes.
And so we can talk about that as a topic in and of itself, and wanted to talk about your upcoming book, which again, the name is Are You Climbing the Right Mountain? Navigating the Journey to an Inspired Life. So again, question is, what made you decide to write a book, and why the mountain theme?
Yeah, I think the book was maybe not a decision, but it was something that just kind of like pushed out of me. This idea about climbing the mountain just started to evolve out of this place of like, I got to share, you know, what happened to me, but also help others. And the mountain analogy just made a lot of sense, because originally it was just a chapter of a book, but then it became the book. Because I started to see this element of like, wow, like we all are navigating up this mountain of our career. And a lot of people I've talked to, and myself included, we get to the top of the mountain and we be like, well, is this really what it was all about? Do I like what I've become at the top of this mountain? And sometimes you make so many sacrifices on that path that it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Right. You get there and you're disappointed or disillusioned.
Yeah. Disillusioned. Exactly. I mean, I think about like the choices you've made around like, okay, having a singular focus of, I want to be at the C-suite. I want to be, you know, the CEO of a company. And, you know, because everyone else in society has programmed us to do that because it's glamorous or it has this certain thing to it. Money or whatever it is you attach to that. But also think about it, like, you know, what will you give up to do that? And when I look back on my own path, I think about, okay, well, you know, I could have spent more time with my son, could have spent more time with my, you know, on health, things like that. And I, you know, this regret, maybe not the right word, because I think all those things were part of the lessons that I learned, but if I can help other people climb right, that's what I'm trying to do with the book, is to give people ideas about how to think about climbing in the right way so that they can live a life that is more aligned with who they want to be and not what they think society wants them to be.
Absolutely. We suffer from that in this culture big time, of, you know, the expectations of others, the external validation that we for some reason need. And you know, I went through a similar journey of, you know, is it important anymore to have the status, the, you know, influence, the title, you know, the money, you know, all that stuff that doesn't matter at the end of the day, like, you know, and it's, my stepmother just passed away last week, and her memorial service was Sunday. So kind of this idea of what's the legacy you want to leave is still very much fresh in my mind. And her one of her grandsons gave the eulogy, which was just so spot on in capturing who she was. And her legacy was love. like unconditional love for anyone who crossed her path, and, you know, non-judgment, and it's like, what a beautiful thing to be known for, because there's not that many people you can stand up and say that about. Yeah. And, you know, so I just want to encourage people, again, you know, kind of fresh off of another loss in my life, of someone very meaningful to me, to, you know, not let it get that far before you start to think about what your legacy is and what you're, who you really are and what you're really here to do.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to take, I love that you brought this up, and I'm so sorry to hear about your loss.
Thank you.
But I think there's one thing that comes to mind, and it's around, well, a few things. Living your legacy is the important thing. Why not live it now? Why not think about it now so that it doesn't become like an afterthought that you can't control? And I also wanted to react to the fact that this is not to say that, like, oh, wanting to become the CEO is a bad thing, or like to tell people to not strive to do something great in the world.
We do need leaders after all.
We need leaders, and we want people to unlock all of the amazing things in their lives. But it's about choosing the right path for you.
Right.
Not because of some other reason. So if your path is truly that you are meant to be the CEO, the why behind it has to be because you want to make an impact, because your legacy behind this is that you want to do something so meaningful in the world that the only way you can do it is by becoming the CEO of this type of a company in this
way. Sort of like the Elon Musk among us, like this doesn't exist, so I'm going to make it happen.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, and if we can all have the fraction of the impact that he has, the world would benefit from it.
And it's funny you say that, because it's like, he's doing it in his way. So it doesn't mean that we should be following his way exactly, because obviously he's got his own, you know, issues of how to navigate and, you know, and unlock the path for him to create what he's creating. But thinking in that way, like, okay, how do I create impact?
Yeah.
In my way?
And, you know, and something I appreciate about him is he doesn't give a shit what other people think.
Exactly,
you know,
it's
sometimes to the point where he says things that he shouldn't say.
Yeah. Because
it, you know, causes the stock to get halted from trading or something like that. Or, I mean, even just like his partner, she's got,
oh, I've got her name.
One of those names that is only a single name. Anyway, he and his partner named their child like a combination of letters and numbers. It's not a traditional name. Yeah. And it's like, we don't care what people think or if other people don't know how to pronounce it. Screw them. Like, that's what we wanted to name our child. I sort of appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's going to kill me, man. I don't know the name. I'll be Googling that after this.
She's a musician. I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like we need to Google it right now in real time. Hold on. I'm going to do that, because we can't leave our viewers
hanging
stranded. Her name is Grimes.
Grimes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is no surprise that he would want to be with someone who also breaks the rules.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the rules, whatever they are.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned this about Elon, because it's, we've kind of unlocked this little, this topic that sometimes like gets me, is that not like in a bad way, but there's an element of, each person has a unique style that they need to unlock. And, if you try to emulate any one person, it can fail, mm-hmm. because if you try to be someone you're not, like you lead in a way that you're not meant to be leading, then it can be problematic.
Yep.
And this is why I often say, it's like, if you try to climb the mountain that you're not meant to climb, then you're going to struggle, because your goal is not to, is to get to the top. I'll be happy when I get to the top of the mountain, not, I love who I am now. I love who I'm becoming right now. I'm enjoying the climb, even though it struggles along the way.
Right.
I'm enjoying the climb because I'm being who I am and not somebody else.
Yeah. Well, it's the quintessential thing that most people get backwards. It's the have, do, be versus be, do, have, right? Mm. You know, yeah. once I have this, I'll be able to do this and then I'll be happy. Well, it's like, no. Happy first while I'm doing what I do, and then I'll have what I want.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So while we're on this topic of being authentically you and not trying to imitate or emulate other people, 7 traits of effective leaders is, you know, one of your topics. And let's talk about what those are.
Yeah. Well, now you put me on the spot. I don't have them all at the top of my head, but I mean, one of the biggest, what it boils down to is the 7 traits are all part of creating the most common thread, which is connection.
Yes.
So the 7 traits, they're, you know, they're elements of having vision, you know, and having this ability to connect with people ultimately comes down to, you know, having those 7 traits and being able to bring them together in service of helping people connect with themselves and with their people. So I think that's the one thing that leaders often miss is that they are not really focusing in on those 7 traits. They are, I mean, the first one is balance. The second one is trust. It really should be trust first, but I think balance is because it's an internal balance that they make. Presence is the third one. Listening, gratitude, vision, and communicate.
Nice.
Those are the 7 traits. And there's a lot behind it that kind of explains how these come to life. But the connection is the key that brings us all together.
So. Absolutely. It's so true. And, you know, it almost takes us back to the topic we were talking about the, you know, in-person connection and how we're lacking that right now because of COVID. What in your experience in working with people is at least a palatable substitute for that in-person connection? Are there any tactics or activities or exercises that are working with you and folks that you interact with to create connection that in the same sort of way?
Yeah. I mean, for the leaders that I'm working with, a lot of them, I'm getting them to really think about each person individually. I know this is hard because if they have a big team, it can be challenging, but the thought is to make sure that they're really getting each voice into the room. And that might mean that it's not just about the business. It's about really getting to know, you know, getting the shape personal about themselves, you know, getting them to, you know, enter the room through a thing of a meeting, big meeting. Sometimes people get lost in the cracks. I've been talking a lot about how there's a lot of who are just either by choice or that they in the big void of these meetings, they don't get hurt. And so you have to make sure as a leader, you're getting your other people into the room by getting them to share, you know, something that's going on for them personally. What are their likes and dislikes? What are they learning about themselves? What are the things that they can really, you know, share to bring their humanity into the room? Because we're not getting the water cooler talks anymore. We're not getting the passing in the hall. We're not getting that any longer.
Right. We're not riding in Ubers to meetings together and all of those informal things that create the connection between people. And that's what they, you know, the proverbial they say that that's actually what creates the strongest bonds in the workplace are those informal ways in which we interact with one another. It's not, you know, like the all hands meeting that is creating the connection. It's those moments of, I see you and you see me, I get you and you get me. And those are created all the time in the most unexpected places and ways.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I love that advice.
You said it like as the all hands are, they've got their, you know, there's a behind the all hands meetings, but the reality is there's the moments that the one-on-one connection that a leader can create. I mean, the project happens. And I really hope that When we go back into the office, if we do, that we find ways to make sure that's not awkward. We make it, you know, this becomes something that we continue to do. Because I found that great thing about going virtual is that some people are getting more engagement through this ability to share questions and kind of get people to engage in these conversations.
Yeah.
But now it's about getting it back into the room and being in person.
So I wonder if the idea of creating connection and asking people to share their stories was the vision behind the name of your podcast, which is The Virtual Campfire.
Thank you for mentioning the podcast. I love this podcast. It's been so much fun to do because a lot of it had to do with just that, is getting people to share their stories around the campfire. And it's not just any old stories like, okay, let's just, you know, talk. The thought about the campfire is there's a few things that it really brings to life. First of all, transformation. Fire is about transformation. But also campfires are where stories have been shared for years. And I wanted to bring people in who would create a space for them to really feel comfortable to what really brought them to it, doing amazing things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us how to get there. And we tell them through flash points, which are these, the point that ignited your gifts into the world. So it's been a great journey. And I feel as though every time I share someone, I feel like so honored to be able to have that space, as you probably too, when you have this the show here, is that you're bringing something to the world that hopefully will impact people's lives. You know, telling people stories about how it overcame a big challenge in their life, or even a small challenge in their life, and being able to say, "Yeah, I am you. I'm you." That's how I lived, something similar, like, and now I understand how you feel. I don't feel alone any longer. So
I love it. Yeah. And I wish you continued success with that podcast. I just absolutely love the name, love the concept. It's so true. The stories are one of the best ways to connect people. And it goes back to who said, people won't remember what you said, they'll remember how you made them feel.
And Maya Angelou, yeah.
Yes, Maya Angelou. God, I am like spacing today on all the names.
All good.
Well, Grimes doesn't exactly roll off the tip of my head, but yeah. Maya Angelou should, because I quote her all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way to make people remember how they felt was connecting with stories. That's that's the glue. And so I love that that's what you're inviting people on your podcast to do, is to tell their stories.
Yeah. And I especially like it when people feel as though at the end of the show, when they say something effective, like, I haven't shared that story ever, or like, I haven't shared that part of my story in a long time, or I never saw it that way. That's when I feel like grateful. I feel so grateful, because I'm like, I'm giving the podcast, the guests, something that they've never experienced. I'm like, whew, that's awesome. That's awesome. I can only imagine what the person who's listening is getting.
and like, for people listening or watching, what are those stories that you've been reluctant to tell, or you're afraid how telling the story will make you look, or what people will think, or if they're going to judge you? Drop all the drama in your head about it. It's who you are. If it's a story, you know, at least about something that isn't immoral or illegal, it's probably worth telling.
Yeah.
Because some people will resonate with it, and it doesn't matter whether they relate to it or not. There's connection just in the telling and listening, because vulnerability and authenticity creates connection, right? I'm starting to sound like Brene Brown, who is my spirit animal, by the way. So I don't mind sounding like her at all.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Tony, this has been so much fun. And I can't wait for your book to come out. And for people who want to get notified when it's finally published or get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
For now, the best place to find me is on my website, which is inspiredpurposecoach.com. And okay. There you can sign up for my newsletter and what have you. And I'll keep you posted on the book. I will have a book page. It's not out yet.
No so worries.
Keep you posted.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom and a few laughs with me.
Thank you so much.
Always fun. And leadershifters, as always, thank you for joining us. And I hope you took away some really cool things today like I did. Again, I encourage you to think about who you really are and are you living into that in your life? And if you're not, be thinking about it and not supposed to be a plug, but the truth is it's people like us who can help you do something about the lack of alignment between what you want to be doing and what you're doing, because we'll help get you into action. We'll help you shift your mindset to be able to take action in the right way, etc. So don't be afraid to seek help, because that's, you know, just like professional athletes still need coaches. You know, Tom Brady, the GOAT, didn't we all see it in the Super Bowl recently? Guess what? He still needs a coach as good as he is. So there's zero ego around having a coach, right? Everybody can use the additional accountability and honesty that a coach brings to the table. And share those stories, creating that connection. That's what being a true leader is all about. So until next time, leadershifters, you know how to reach me, Shaney@theleadershiftproject.com, and on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. All right, thanks again, Tony, and leadershifters, catch you soon.